You have been selected for this task because you are the best, the elite. You all know what to do. The success of your mission is our key to a swift victory.
They fall in line, one at a time, ready to play.
Hello and welcome to the Knights of Geekdom. I'm Tony Brown.
This is Alex Silva.
This is Austin again.
And we are joined by a very special guest. Go ahead and introduce yourself, guest.
I'm Tony's wife, Ashley.
Okay. I was going to leave that out and we were going to have a little...
Oh, my bad.
I just figured you said your professional name, but whatever.
Give us your pin name.
Ashley Niemer.
And you are listening to another episode of Knights of Geekdom. If you accidentally clicked on this, just go ahead and give us an hour or so, and I'm sure it will change your mind and you'll like us, and if not, you know, God bless you. So, guys, what's been going on?
Oh, not a whole lot, man. Just a lot of work. Just staying busy, trying to stay busy, pay bills. Awesome.
Same here, man. Work every day and Star Trek at night.
Dude, it's so funny. Every podcast you come on, you're like, what have you been up to? Star Trek.
Work and Star Trek.
Skyrim and okay. Star Trek.
Right. That's but so cool. Metal Gear Rising just was released last month, and I finally picked up my copy. So that's taking precedence over Star Trek this week.
And that's when you're telling me where Snake is, like, old, right?
No. That's part four.
Oh, crap.
You're one of the side characters in this new one. You're a cyborg incarnation of the character Raiden from part two. And you have a big sword. It's like a high-frequency blade. It has an AC current that runs through it, and it breaks down, like, the molecular bond of anything that it cuts through. So you're just, like, running around cutting semis in half. You can literally just, like, slash people into 40, 60 pieces.
Wow.
And imagine Ninja Gaiden with bullet time. You go into slow-mo, and you aim the blade, and you cut people in half. Or you can sever arms, heads, whatever.
You can see all this, right?
It's all in slow-mo. Yeah. And the way you get health is to target a specific part of the body, slice it open with the sword, reach in and grab the spine, pull it out and absorb the electrolytes. That's how you get health.
They don't have Gatorade or anything?
No. No, he doesn't drink or eat. He's a cyborg.
Oh.
But it's beautiful, man.
Do they live after you cut off their arms?
No.
They blow up.
I slash them to ribbons. I literally will just hack people apart. Just eviscerate everyone and rip out their spines. It's beautiful.
I still have that number to somebody you can talk to.
I know who I'm pairing up with.
I don't need any more therapy. I know who I am. If I don't like you.
What about you? What are you
bleed through the brain.
Not a whole lot. Just, you know, living the dream.
Of what?
What's the dream?
The American dream, baby.
The American dream. Not the communist dream. The American dream. I come home, I watch TV and play video games and go to sleep.
Oh. That's about right.
That's like a good life, I guess.
That's all of us.
Ashley, what have you been up to?
Writing.
Okay.
Your laundry.
Which is a little late.
That's about it.
My shirts are wrinkled, by the way.
So that's what your life consists of, laundry and writing.
Yes.
Okay.
What are you writing?
At the moment, I'm writing three different things. Three different things. So one is a continuation of my vampire series, mm-hmm. one is a continuation of my Christmas series, and one is an erotic romance.
Tell me about the Christmas series.
Well, let's get into that. We'll dive into the Christmas series a little later. Towards the end of the podcast, we're going to have a whole 20, 30-minute segment.
That's a lot.
Yeah, we're going to devote
it all to her books.
That's we'll go by quickly.
Okay, we'll take it. Maybe 15. If yeah. you okay.
Play by ear.
But let's start off with, do we have any emails this week?
We do, actually. We did get one. Brace yourself, folks. This is a little...
let's hear it.
Everyone remembers last week's. This one's a little different.
Well, let's recap. Last week's was the guy needing advice about his girlfriend wanting him to wear her undergarments to
yes.
bed.
Yes.
So, if you didn't hear that, if you haven't heard that last week, download it, listen to it, and...
It was a doozy.
Yeah, we haven't got a response from him, so either he's dead or he's...
He's either embraced our advice, or he's taken his own life in shame.
All right, what's this week's?
Okay, and it reads, Dear Knights, So I heard through the grapevine that you are all Dr. Phil wannabes and love to help out with problems. Well, I have a doozy. My boyfriend of 3 years wants to do something completely disgusting. Earmuffs, Ashley. He wants to piss on my head.
And shit on my chest. God, what the hell? What is up with our fans?
That is right. That is not a typo. He says that scat porn and golden showers have always been his favorite type of porn, and that sex is becoming very dull and passionless.
Wow.
Okay. You know, I said we had to keep it clean for me to advertise for you guys.
I desperately love this man and want to spend the rest of my life
with him. Well, this is our user's email, I guess. This
doesn't matter. I still can't post it.
I don't know if this is something I can even fathom doing. I know we have been talking about marriage for a while, and I'm afraid that I will end up alone with 100 cats. I am on the wrong end of 30 and desperate to start a future with this man. Please help. I can't go to my family or friends. They are all very conservative.
Oh, my God.
Thanks in advance, Anonymous.
Well, I'd just like to say whoever wrote that is one sick motherfucker.
All right, so comments, questions.
Okay, so before we get into that, so this podcast here, are we trying to limit the profanity? Or?
Not anymore, it doesn't matter.
No. You know what? We just have to be ourselves. People will like us for... It's what your mom always says. They like you for you.
But Miss the book writer over here...
Ashley?
No, I know your name. I'm just kidding. You can't post this...
Yeah, I'm not going to now.
Why?
That's not appropriate for my readers.
Oh, how do you know?
Because I got...
Okay, so you're telling me...
You write about erotica and vampires.
That's right.
And you're telling me
I don't
that...
write about that.
And hey, this is not for you... this is not you endorsing it. This is you helping someone with a problem. Address this as if it was I who wanted to piss and shit on you.
Okay, wait. I'm sorry. So
wait, I'm still trying to get into the... So, in your erotic books...
With your BDSM.
There's no, like...
Pissing,
hardcore, sexual...
Well, there's some, yeah.
Sexual deviance.
And their BDSM... What does BDSM stand for, Ashley?
Okay, I'm not the one writing that.
Let me tell you this.
Bondage, sadomasochism.
If people are reading erotic, romantic books...
It's different.
Okay, but...
It's expected.
I guarantee you 60% of these people reading... have probably experienced with golden showers.
I call your bullshit on that. I call BS on that. No.
Or other things in the bedroom that other people would think are
sexual deviance of one form or another.
Yeah.
You know what?
Instead of addressing Ashley's pretentious ideas,
let's get back to the email. Okay, so
let's talk about the email and talk to our friend here who's got a doozy of a problem, as she says so eloquently in her email. All
right. Tony, what do you think?
I don't know. That's weird.
Well, let's get the female perspective. Ashley, what advice would you give her on this topic?
No.
No, just straight up.
If my husband wanted to piss on me, I'd tell him he was crazy.
Well, would you allow him to do it?
No.
Okay.
No kind of circumstance would allow you to let him.
If it was the only
If I was bit by a stingray, he could pee on my leg, no problem. But nothing kinky.
Okay.
And Austin,
if it was the only way to save your marriage, you wouldn't do it.
Bye bye.
Okay. I thought you were Catholic. Married, married till death.
Did we not premise that? I said not always.
Okay. Here's the thing. My opinion that wanting to piss or shit on someone is a form of dominance, which may or may not be a good form of dominance.
It makes sense.
Yeah, right. What you want to do is you want to show this girl that you're the dominant person.
That has nothing to do with what dominance is about. The submissive has all of the control. It is not about the person dominating. The submissive is the one that has all of the control on it.
Okay, now that's...
Because they are giving you that right to do that.
Yeah, until
they have the right to say no. If you study any dominance, it is all about the submissive's power they give away. To be a submissive it takes a very strong-willed person to give somebody that right.
I'll agree with that part.
So if somebody wants to piss on somebody just out of it to control them, that is a completely wrong use of the dominance.
You are so extremely passionate about this.
And a little loud. You're probably hurting our listeners.
50 Shades of Grey pissed me off because it did it all wrong.
I can understand that point of view. I guess there would be two points of view. I mean, because people do the dominance thing to have the control. Like, they go to somebody so somebody has control over them. And that person that's doing the dominating is going to have feel the power. But
they
get,
but they're given that power. Right, it's a right.
But I can see the other, I can see that side of it. So if they, what if they wanted to put Saran Wrap on you first? And
what
then,
are we like?
And then just piss on you.
Or what about this? What if
what if it wasn't touching?
That defeats the whole purpose of that act.
Well, no, I mean, because that's I mean, a hot plate, the hot plate's the same thing, but you put the Saran Wrap on first.
It melts on a hot plate.
What about this? What if they wanted you to be under a table and then they pissed the shit on top of the table?
That's not going to cut it for him.
Okay,
also, that's not going to work
what,
for him.
What would you tell her to do?
Well, it kind of falls into the same category as what I said last week. You know, if you obviously just haven't dismissed it completely out of hand. Otherwise, you wouldn't be asking our opinion. So, I think, you know, you've considered it.
If she wrote us, she's thinking about it.
You're thinking about it. Because if you just straight out said, no, this is not ever going to happen. Like Ashley, he was like, fuck you. The marriage is over. Goodbye. Good luck to you. Whatever. But
I can't imagine there's many people that want you to piss on them.
That is not true.
That's
there
it.
Is
that's
a
it.
Huge underground of people
well,
that I, like that kind.
I yeah, just, that's the underground.
I just
that's
said,
the minority.
Hold on. But I just said 60% of your readers probably
I don't target. I don't target that, though.
You just, but if you happen to catch them.
But you don't know or... you don't know what they're into, is what I'm saying. You don't
right.
know what people out there are
but
into.
But see, because like, I write books in a certain way that follow certain things of those genres that are known to work.
Uh-huh.
But there is this whole underground of
yeah.
all this other stuff. And they are everyday people. So you can't just make this assumption that this dude right here doesn't go take a shit on his girl. Because he actually might, and they're everyday people.
Well, yeah, but...
They're women who go to work, who carry the workload, that are mothers. And
that
they
are
need,
into that.
And they need it because it's kind of like just the release that it gives of giving
yeah.
somebody...
Yeah, but those people are
people.
In the minority.
No,
most people,
it is
yes,
more
that,
people
you're
than
telling me
think.
There's you're telling me that they're in the majority of
Not,
most...
But when you say minority, people think like a small little sect. It
okay,
is not
so,
small.
Okay, so then what's the problem
well,
with you putting it on your podcast? Because
that's not my, it's my not my target audience.
She doesn't want to target that audience.
It's not our target audience either. we're just trying to help the guy out.
No,
okay, so
oh,
I
yeah,
think,
yeah, 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 yeah.
I think I would say, in my opinion, personally, I don't want anybody pissing or shitting on me. So I would say, in my opinion, don't do it. Because, I mean, let's think about it. There's all kinds of things you can catch or infections you can get.
look up sepsis. Sepsis. That's a consideration in this
yeah.
issue.
My advice would be if you have any doubts whatsoever, don't do it.
Yeah. And she said that what she's on the wrong end of 30.
Yeah, and if he leaves you,
but
he's not meant to be with you.
Here's the thing. 30 and, you know, 40 is the new 30. Everyone's big on the MILF thing, right? You know, the cougar.
I think Alex just brought up a good point. If you're not happy with it, you know, and he's not happy with you not letting him do it, then maybe he needs to find someone that is happy with letting him piss on him.
Yeah, so we're all agreed that don't do it if you don't feel comfortable.
Ashley's pointing out that there's plenty of people out there that are into
yeah.
it. That,
I mean,
it's just part of their everyday
yeah.
life.
I'm sure there's probably a website or a chat group you can find.
Pissonme.com.
There's got
to
be.
If you don't want to be pissed on or be asked to piss on, hit me up on my email. I'm single. Give me a call.
And if you do want to be pissed on... Do we have an
call, Austin?
I'll gladly piss on you. I don't know if it'll be any kind of sexually related, but yeah, I'll piss on you.
But he drinks Red Bulls like it's water, so you know it's coming.
I do. I have an addiction.
All right. Well, I think that
right now I'm enjoying a St. Arnold's Springbok in the spirit of spring.
Well, to conclude this email portion, let's conclude the email portion. I say follow your gut. Do what you feel is right.
Yeah, if you're not comfortable, don't do it. Don't do anything that makes you feel uncomfortable or, you know, unsafe.
I think you should do it.
Or demoralizes you.
I think you yeah. should just close your eyes or get some goggles. You know what? You know, get some goggles.
And a snorkel. Keep it up.
Get you a little snorkel. Do whatever it takes. I think you should do it. Make him happy. If you say you're desperate for a relationship with him, fucking buck up and take the piss in your face.
All right.
Okay, so it's 3 out of 4 says don't do it. All right. Let's
move
on.
To yeah.
Less weird.
Let's move on to Geek Corner. All right. So today, well, actually, before that, Tony, you had something you wanted to bring up that I thought was pretty interesting, different.
Yeah. There's this phenomenon. I don't know how popular it is or how interesting the listeners will have. Ashley, are you okay? She's a little...
Good,
okay. It's called The Black Eyed Children. Has anyone heard of that? Black Eyed Children? Not abused children.
Okay.
But what it is the entire eye, the iris, the pupil, everything is black. Okay, so think of it like this. You know, you're at home, it's 11:30 at night. You're by yourself, and you hear the knock on the door. And you go and you look out the peephole, and there's a little kid. Or a couple of little kids.
Before you say that, like black-eyed children, like you watch Being Human.
Yeah.
Like black-eyed, like Aiden does when he turns into a
kid. Yeah.
Okay, because I thought when you said black eyes, I just got these pictures of like these little kids with like a shiner.
No, this isn't like a children's like fight.
The whole white of your eyes and the
like black
iris
contacts.
Are completely
okay.
Black.
Like, like the blackout contacts.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All
right. At 11:30 at night, mm-hmm. knocking on the door.
And so you go to open the door, because it's a little kid, maybe 8, 10 years old. Maybe it's two kids, 8, 10 years old. And obviously, you know, you're concerned as an adult.
What the fuck is this little kid doing out here in the middle of the night?
And the kid says to you, I need help. I need to call my mommy. Can I come in?
With black eyes.
With black. But for some reason, there's this overwhelming amount of dread that comes over in your body. And you realize, I can't let this child into my house. So you say no. But I can hand you the phone. But the child is adamant. I need to come inside. Can I please come inside and call my mommy?
Hell no.
So you say no. And then the dread just turns to pure terror. And you say no, thank you. And you close the door. And you go. You lock it, you check all the doors, make sure they're locked. And then 2 minutes later, you hear a knock on your back door. Can you please let me in? I need to call my mommy. Or you go to your bedroom and you hear a knock. Let's just say it's first floor. And you hear a knock on your window. Please let me in. This is something that people have been reporting for a while now.
Where? Because this is the first time I've heard of this. I've never heard of this.
There are reports in England, all over the
world. All over the world.
England is not in our country.
I said all over the country and...
My bad.
I was on a roll, and you.
So it's happening in the United States.
Yeah, it's happening pretty much everywhere that has recorders, or anywhere people can write shit down.
Like how many reportings?
It's unclear how many are reporting.
Like dozens, hundreds.
Let's say dozens or hundreds. Yeah, and apparently it's been
That's a big difference. That's why I'm asking.
Apparently it's something that's happened since...
Is it like some kind of like gang thing? People trying to get like in?
No, it's something that apparently has been going on since like the 19th century.
Has anyone ever let the children in?
Not that we know of.
So do you think this is like just children playing pranks on people, or...
Could it be like somebody heard the story, like the Bloody Mary story, and
yeah,
people just
sounds,
redoing it?
This sounds like something supernatural.
But if it's happening all over the world since
but
the
I'm Mexican, so I've seen a lot of crazy shit that I wouldn't necessarily believe in when it comes to stuff like that. And I mean, there's some stories I can tell that are pretty creepy, even though I try my hardest not to believe in that kind of stuff.
But. Well, I could tell you some crazy shit too, and I'm not saying I believe one thing or the other, but there is crazy shit that goes on and explained, but it happens nonetheless.
So what do we think? Do we think it's horseshit, creepy?
It sounds like a wives' tale to me. I want to see the.
I want to see it. Yeah.
I want to see the report.
If you're a black-eyed child,
come to your house.
If you're a black-eyed child, find us. Knock on our door. I mean,
and we'll give you another black.
Yeah.
Eye.
If you are supernatural, you shouldn't have any problem finding us.
I keep a cross with you.
Google something. I mean, come to our door. I want to see. I want to see for myself.
We got swords. Guns, knives.
Granted, just so you know, we shoot first, ask later.
It's in Texas. But I just thought it was something interesting, and it kind of, you know, I overheard this story on one of my podcasts that I listened to.
What podcast?
Jim Harrell's Paranormal Podcast.
Is it truthful, usually?
He has guests that come on and discuss, you know, paranormal things, you know, supernatural things. Aliens.
So you're into the paranormal?
I don't necessarily believe in it, but it fascinates me.
It doesn't fascinate you. You're
he does
your
not
head.
Believe in it. He does not.
It fascinates him.
He wants to believe, but he's like,
I
no.
I want to believe.
No.
Do you believe?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, you believe in the supernatural?
Absolutely.
Well, I guess you would have to if you write kind of certain books.
They're not mutually exclusive.
Have you seen things in your life that are unexplainable?
Absolutely. We went on a ghost tour in San Antonio, and there was a ghost. I mean, it showed it in the infrared thing. I mean, it was right there in front of my face.
I
want to
do
no,
a ghost
it
tour.
It didn't happen.
They
it
do
didn't
ghost
happen.
Tours here in Houston.
I haven't been
and
on
how
any
how do you
Houston.
Know that wasn't just, like,
they have
scam.
They have them in Tomball.
Because, okay, well, first off, the Alamo was closed, so you couldn't get into the Alamo to make it a scam. It was in the Alamo.
It was in the Alamo.
It was in the Alamo.
That's cool.
And the guy's name was Antonio, and he comes out for when women call his name. And, you know, it appeared. It was right there. I tried to take a picture of the infrared camera.
But still, what proof do you have that it wasn't just some scam?
How would it be in a scam? We're holding the camera.
Your own camera that you brought?
The infrared camera.
They gave you.
Okay, technically, yes, they gave it to us.
Okay, there you go. That's what I'm saying.
How do you manipulate a camera to do that?
But they're
electronics. Knowing how to manipulate technology.
It's not like it was on playback. Just
understanding how to manipulate technology.
Well,
look, there were ghosts there.
It's not hard. I'm just saying.
I say they have a ghost tour here in Tomball, in Houston, in spring.
You take it.
Yeah.
In Tomball?
Yeah, where you get all the equipment and everything, and they take you on these places out here that are supposedly haunted. I think we should try it. We should give it a try and do it.
I mean, I'm down to go check it out. If we want to get some serious...
It's like 40, 50 bucks a person, I think,
something. You ever feel like cold spots around you randomly?
I would want to take my own equipment.
Or weird things happen to you?
Of course, yeah. Well, and I'm not saying that there aren't supernatural things. There are. There are energies that happen that exist in our world.
I'm
going to
put this out
explain.
There. Let's put this out there. Okay. I'm Mexican. Or
so you say.
Hispanic, whatever.
You told me you were black.
My grandmother.
You told me you were Irish. I'm confused.
Yeah. You can be Irish Mexican.
I'm an Irish black Mexican. With a little bit of German.
Wow. Then we expect to find you drunk and dead behind a bar at some point.
No, but growing up as a child, my grandmother was a bruja.
Okay? She doesn't speak Spanish.
She was a white witch.
I know what that word
means.
Well,
that's what people would call her, is a white witch. There's two types. There's the ones that practice black arts, and then there's the ones that practice the white arts.
Right.
So growing up, she'd have this room like with hundreds of candles. You know, all religious candles, and people would come from all over the country to get healings and card readings and stuff like that. I never wanted to believe it. It always creeped me out.
Why?
Just because it's something. If it is, you know, I believe it's true now, but at that time it was like, it's like crossing a realm, and you know, you always worry about what comes with it.
Okay.
So I always tried to ignore it, but growing up I would see all these weird things. Like, she would call me out of the blue and say, are you about to do this with this person? And I'd be like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. And then she's like, well, this is something that's involved in this scenario. And I'd be like, yes. And then come to find out later on, I'd step away from that situation and something bad happened.
Okay, you're gonna have to be a little more specific, dude.
Okay, so like
just give us one example.
Okay.
One example. Something that she said that happened.
One example, I was going out with a group of friends for a birthday, okay? And we had a limo. So she called that night and she said, are you going out with a friend who's black in a big car? And I was like, well, no. I mean, none of the guys going out with this are black tonight, you know? And then I thought about it and I was like, well, my friend's half black. But he looks completely white. You wouldn't think about it. And we had a limo, so I was like, okay. And she was like, well, you need to not go. Something's going to happen tonight. Well, they all went out. A fight broke out. Cops were involved. And she made it seem like if I would have been there, something would have happened to me or the blame would have been put. So I missed that because of her warning. But, you know, also, like, my mom got real sick, you know, when she was she had some sort of surgery, got real sick, wouldn't eat. And this was like weeks went by, wouldn't get out of bed. So my last resort, when I didn't believe it, and doctors were basically saying they couldn't do anything, we got her, drove all the way up to where she was 3 hours away at 2 a.m, did a healing on her. The next morning, something we hadn't seen in probably 2 months, my mom was out of bed cooking breakfast for the first time. You know, when the doctors were saying if she keeps this up, she's not going to make it.
See, anyway. I absolutely believe in that.
See, and I, you know, and it's pretty cool. I mean, because my grandmother, you know, when my dad died and stuff like that, she lost her sight for the most part, and she continued to do readings, and she would say that she lost her sight because she saw what happened, kind of thing. So you have all these weird things, but yeah, I mean, I tried for the longest time not to. I mean, when I was a kid, in her house, there was this hallway – No, I have one more story.
No, but, you already told me. I remember.
Yeah. There's this hallway, and it sounds retarded to people that say there's no such thing. But as a kid, the most terrifying thing is she had this house with this long hallway. And at the end of the hallway, there's two hallways that come to into an intersection in the living room. And that in there in that living room, she had this statue of it was like the stone statue of something supposedly looked just like her daughter who passed away. So you have this little statue that stands about 2 feet tall. Well, growing up, we always heard that my cousin threw a football at my grandmother who was mean to her and hurt her. So that night when he was sleeping in the living room, the statue came alive and slapped his hand and left an imprint. So he would never come back to the house. And we were always like, that's crap, you know? Well, one night, I remember one evening, I was rude to my grandmother. And we're in the back hallway in the back room. And it was like probably 2 a.m. You hear these little footsteps like that stop at the door. And we'd all freak out in the room and be like, holy shit, what is that? What is that? And we're like, you know, I'm 12, so I'm freaking out. And then all of a sudden you'd go, shh, be quiet. And then it'd go back. And then the next morning we'd get up and we'd walk out there, look at the doll, and it was facing our bedroom. And then I'd run past it really quick. And when I'd come back, it would be facing the other hallway. And so for the longest time, we would write I'd draw little drawings and put little beads and give it money and just like leave it like as a ritual so it wouldn't fuck with me.
Please don't fuck me up.
But yeah, I mean, growing up in that, it was that kind of crazy shit.
That's weird, man.
Yeah, it's that kind of crazy shit. And you know, Hispanic families always have these wise tales about the Llorona and all these weird, crazy superstitions. But yeah, so
there's a lot of them.
There's a lot of stuff I think that aren't explained.
I'd like to ask your opinion as a Mexican adult male.
I think it's been established.
Chupacabra.
Now what's that?
Is it real?
The goat sucker.
The goat what? Sucker. There's an animal in the Mexican mythos.
A demon.
There's this animal that's a little demon that goes around and slaughters the.
The livestock.
You never heard of the chupacabra?
And it supposedly it's supposed to have these big red eyes and these little hands with big claws on it. You know, I think that there's possibly something.
It could even be winged and fly.
Yeah. There's possibly some animal out there that they're not realizing what it is because it could have like mange or something that's going around killing all these animals that people are seeing as something else. But I don't know, dude. I mean, I can't say yes or no. I mean, that's like saying Bigfoot exists for sure.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about. What do you think, Tony? Is the chupacabra real?
I don't know. It's possible that it could be some species of animal that we haven't discovered yet. Or it could be some giant coyote that's bred with dog that's, you know, got some mange thing, you know, like Alex was saying. You know, there's a lot of speculation, but I don't know if the supernatural monster running around sucking, you know, the blood out of goats and eviscerating cattle is real. There have been too many reports for it to be just some hoax.
Something similar as kids, we were told that if we were out past, say, 9 o'clock at night, that there was something called La Lachucha, which was a huge, like, 10-foot spanned winged owl of the night would chase children down and rip out their eyeballs if they were out past 9 o'clock.
Is this the shit that Mexican people and tell their
that's
kids
the,
to keep
that's
them
that's the
out,
kind of thing that we
in?
Were told as children. And it was the same thing with, like, if you're out on
where,
the bayou.
Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up here, but my dad's family was from Richmond, Rosenberg.
I have a question.
But his mom, his parents were from Monterrey, Mexico. They were from Mexico.
So I have a quick question.
Go ahead.
What story did they tell to keep Mexican girls from getting pregnant? Because that didn't work.
That didn't work.
That didn't work at all.
It's true. It's a hard fact.
It's not racist if it's true, Ashley. We're going to take this racist part out.
But yeah, I mean, that's the crazy shit you would hear growing up. But, you know, other races have, like, Bloody Mary and...
Bloody Mary scares the shit out of me.
That's retarded.
Are you laughing?
You have a story. Go ahead, tell them.
I have a story, too, though.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. We were in Kansas City, so I was, like, 5th grade? So, like, old enough to, like, remember, but not old enough to, like, hallucinate. Uh-huh. So we had this babysitter. And
you're never too young to hallucinate.
This was real. I was not a hallucination. So we had this babysitter who told us about Bloody Mary. And my brother's like, do it, do it, do it. And I'm like, no, no, no. So she goes into the bathroom, and she lights the candles, and she turns the light out, and Tony, my brother and I were hiding in the closet, because I made him come hide with me. Uh-huh. And so she does the whole ritual, my little brother, yeah. So she does the whole ritual on the mirror, and like we're sitting there looking in the closet, and the red just starts like dripping down the mirror. I mean, and you have they had the candles, so you could like see it, and we could see our babysitter's like image in the mirror, and it was just like it looked like blood. I mean, just all down the mirror.
Is it possible you didn't see her do something to trick you?
Like what?
Spray something up there.
Spray what? Didn't have anything with us.
You were in the fifth grade.
Well, I remember the same thing. Like, we went into the bathroom as kids and did the whole Bloody Mary ritual. And you're supposed to have a blonde-haired person with you.
She was blonde.
Okay, right, right. So we brought one with us. And, like, throughout the process, right when you do the last Bloody Mary, turn around, sprinkle water, whatever you're supposed to do, all we heard was a loud scream. We all bolt out of the bathroom, and she had a scratch, like finger scratches down her face.
Ever since that night that we did this, I had this massive fear of mirrors. So, like, when I used to sit on the couch, I would lay on it, so it was, like, under, like, the little, like, armrest, so Bloody Mary couldn't see me.
Did the Candyman freak you out?
I didn't even do that.
But we, like, should totally do that one.
No, we should never do a candy.
We should try.
Don't ever do it.
I doubt you'll be here.
It doesn't matter. You don't know what you'll bring home with it.
Hold on. You never saw the movie Candyman?
No.
Oh, the movie Candyman's awesome. Creepy. It's creepy. It's the, what's the guy's name?
Tony something.
You'd know him if you saw him, but the whole thing is it's almost like the Bloody Mary myth. There's this – he was a slave, right? A slave that fell in love with somebody he wasn't supposed to, and they torture him.
Slave owner's daughter.
Yeah, and they torture him so brutally to where he – as he's dying, a curse is placed on anybody who says his name five times.
And don't they cut his hand off and then they sick bees on him, so he gets like overrun by like
– So he controls bees and everything, but you're supposed to stand in the mirror and –
Okay, so he has a hook and he controls bees.
Yeah, it's really crazy. You'd have to watch it. I think I have it somewhere. But yeah, so yeah, there's a lot of crazy shit.
And the same babysitter, we used to do the Ouija board with her. And so one night it said she was going to get run over by a blue truck. And so we're like, okay, well, we're not going outside. 15 minutes later, a blue truck drove down the street.
Well, that could just be coincidence.
How could it be? I mean, what's so random? There are not a lot of trucks in Kansas.
Really?
I mean, not like this. It's not like it's Houston.
I mean, that's pretty weird.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, it was like within 15 minutes, and I'm like, you can't go home.
It could be a coincidence.
Nobody on our street owned a blue truck. I mean, because...
Or it could be one of those crazy fucked up things that happens. Either way, you can't explain. For some reason, my dog today is wanting to be all over
us. He wants to be in the
us.
Podcast.
Like, he's whining. He's all up in our laps.
A couple podcasts ago, this dog interrupted the first 5 minutes.
Trying to perform fellatio on every member at the table.
You want to say something? Oh, man.
What was that?
Oh, my two phones.
Both of his phones. Speak, Memphis, right. Speak.
All right.
This is probably a good time to move away from the Black Eyed Children. We got way off.
But interesting.
You know, honestly, I want to, like, you know, come closer to Halloween. I want to do, like, a Ouija something. You know, some kind of Ouija board.
You are not allowed to do Ouija.
Speaking, like, you know, the first time I ever saw the Ouija board was, what was that movie, Witchcraft? Or Witch?
Yeah, with the Ouija board.
That was the creepiest fucking movie.
It's real. Don't fuck with that.
Let's try it. Let's try the Ouija board. Let's all get together.
That stuff is real.
That's a Parker Brothers game.
It doesn't matter. It's not about what the game is. It's about what you believe.
That's like the light of the feather, stiff as a board thing.
It doesn't matter. Alex's house, so I'll come home.
She's like, bring it home with you.
Yeah, she's like, you bring that shit home, motherfucker.
Whatever. I will salt and do no, brick
no,
dust.
No, you can't use brick dust and stuff because then that means you believe in voodoo. And you're asking for a whole other crap of stuff to come in.
Anyway, all right, let's move on to the next topic because I think we've exhausted.
It is time for Geek Corner.
Geek Corner.
That was not like that.
You need to have a three-part harmony for that.
All right, well, what's Geek Corner, Alex?
Geek Corner. Well, I was thinking today we would do kind of a couple of small reviews. Tomb Raider. I know you played it.
Yeah,
Austin has seen it. What'd you think of it? I mean, because I started playing it and I thought it was pretty awesome.
I thought it was awesome. I mean, let's just be honest. This is not your original Tomb Raider. This is not Lara Croft running around double guns blasting the shit out of everybody. This is a
well, that wasn't the original incarnation of Tomb Raider, though.
Well, this is a teenage girl, you know, I'm sorry, a girl in her early 20s, you know, a college student, and I don't know what's going on. Yeah, our mics, hold on a second. I'll hit pause.
Okay, so Geek Corner.
Well, before we do that, let's Austin has to take off. So, Austin, it was good having you sit with us for as long as you can.
It's always cool to be here, my friends.
Yeah.
All right, well.
So long.
See you. Well,
I'll be saying adieu.
All right. No. The Happy Trails. I want y'all to sing the Happy Trails music.
The what?
Happy Trails, little cowgirl.
All right, that's Austin, everybody. All right, so Tomb Raider.
Okay, yeah, let's get back to Tomb Raider. Sorry, we had some glitches, but nobody here because Wex is...
Buy Metal Gear!
All right, so yeah, so this is just, you know, a young college student, Lara Croft, on her first expedition. And she goes to this crazy-ass island, and craziness ensues.
Yeah, it is...
Is that the game you're playing right now?
No, I mean, it was, but you know, the one I beat.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a pretty crazy game. I mean, the graphics are amazing. The things that she goes through, the cutscenes and all that.
And she just gets
really,
the shit beat out of her. Yeah. I mean,
like throughout the game, you see all the scars.
Yeah,
and bruises. I mean, it's pretty cool. It's a lot better than the other Tomb Raider.
It's like the original Die Hard of video games because she's just, I mean, just getting the shit kicked out of her.
He's looking at me like, I know what he's talking about.
I'm sorry, I'll just look it out.
You've never seen Die Hard?
I didn't know it was a video game.
No, it's not. I'm just saying.
Like, that's the kind of thing. You know how Bruce Willis went through everything in Die Hard, yes. Gets beat up, you know?
Die Hard is good.
That's kind of what the Tomb Raider game is, but with a woman who has a sexy accent.
That's actually trademarked. Die Hard is good. There we go.
No, it's not.
Put that on a bumper sticker.
But yeah, if you're not playing it, go out and get it. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was – oh, it's phenomenal. The graphics, like you said, were – and
it's kind of open world.
Yeah, it's pretty open world. And then as she goes along, she, you know, progresses and builds up weapons and things like that. So it's a lot more realistic.
And you get to kill animals and skin them. And
yeah, you go hunting.
Realistic compared to what?
It's a lot more realistic than the original Tomb Raider, where she's just running around unlimited bullets in her.
Oh.
Yeah. This one you run out of shit.
I needed a point of reference.
You need to eat to you know, keep your health up kind of thing. It's kind of cool. Is there anything you wanted to talk about or bring up?
Well, I was thinking, you know, the other day that they are just going crazy on remakes.
Okay.
You know, I mean, everything's getting remade.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, what do they need? What would be a cool movie to remake that they haven't
done
yet?
Well, first, let's say, what have they remade lately that you think just totally sucked?
Well, you and I have different opinions, but the new Spider-Man movie.
All the Spider-Man movies.
Oh. The new Spider-Man movie compared to the Raimi's was 10 times better.
That's your opinion, but I disagree. But, you know.
What didn't you like about it?
The new one?
He hates it.
I know that, but what don't you like either. It? Yeah, I have my reasons.
But what are your reasons?
It bored me.
It bored you, really?
Yeah.
Well, did it bore you because it was kind of an origin again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of confused me because I thought he was bit by a radioactive spider, not he went into some radiation, whatever it was.
But he was bit by a spider.
But that wasn't the right, like, he didn't out of his.
In the original comics, he didn't shoot webs from his hands.
But see, I didn't know that when I went into it because I only knew from, Tobey Maguire. Table again. My bad.
Yeah, because in the original comics, he had the agility and the senses and could stick
and
to
the strength.
It just confused
me. But he had to create the web shooters.
It just confused me compared to
the
Sam
Raimi
stuff.
Ones.
Yeah. So it kind of bored me.
Okay, that's fair.
It's not X-Men.
You know, and then now they're remaking Evil Dead.
Hold on. She said it's not X-Men. Most of the X-Men movies suck.
No, they don't.
Come on.
That's because it's got Hugh Jackman.
One was great. No, the last one was good, but that was also somebody totally different, and they took it more seriously than they did.
What was wrong with the
originals?
Would you consider that
a remake?
Hold on, what was wrong with the originals?
Yes, it would be a remake because it was a whole new cast.
Not really. Hugh Jackman was there. He had one line.
Yeah, it could have been. Well, you could consider it a reboot, because remake and reboot are two different things.
And then the
I don't know what a reboot is.
A remake is like taking the exact same material and just remaking it. A reboot is remaking rebooting it with changing it and tweaking.
You mean like
it.
They do with Batman every time.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Those would be reboots.
I like Batman too.
Yeah, I enjoyed the Hulk reboot, remake, whatever you want to call it.
That was a reboot because it was a different storyline. Spider-Man would have been a reboot. It wouldn't have been a remake. But
you didn't tell me what was wrong with X-Men.
Did we cover this?
I think so, yeah.
Or did we lose that one? We might have lost that one. That was a whole episode we lost.
Well, I don't know, so tell me.
The original, the very first X-Men movie, I liked it.
With Patrick Stewart?
Yes. Now, there's certain things from the X-Men movies that they nailed, like Patrick Stewart as Professor X, awesome. Magneto, awesome. Wolverine, perfect.
So you didn't like the kids?
You know, Rogue, they messed up completely. They messed her up. She could have been better. I like Anna Paquin. I like her, but they messed up the character.
I don't.
And there were certain things. I want to see superhero movies where they actually wear their costumes. I hated the fact that everybody wore leather.
So you love Fantastic Four?
No. I didn't say the movie could suck if they had their costumes. But Fantastic Four was easy because they all wore leather outfits anyway with the number four on it. I mean, it's like, you know, when you see Wolverine, you want to see Wolverine in his Wolverine outfit. You know, I mean, there were things about it that I didn't like. The stories could have, like, part two I didn't like so much. Three I liked better than part two, but a lot of people hate three.
Okay, I would agree with that. Three is better than two.
But... you know, I mean, it wasn't horrible. I mean, those were the first – weren't those some of the first
– Yeah, I mean, it was Blade and Spider-Man and the X-Men.
Yeah, I mean, though, being that they came out when they did, they were good.
Blade is the one with the sword?
Yeah, with Wesley Snipes.
Like, yeah, that
the Vampire Hunter.
But even the creator – well, Blade I like. See, Blade.
Yeah,
Blade,
I thought Blade the first Blade cool. was good. The yeah. second one was good, and the third one was very
– I like Hellboy.
Hellboy's really good.
Yeah, but they're not.
That was one of the first things that Tony introduced me to. When we were
Hellboy,
dating.
Yeah, Hellboy.
But they're not talking about rebooting or making that. Hellboy. We're trying to stay on topic, people.
Okay. But
we are, but we're not trying to diverge.
Even the guy that's working on the new X-Men movie right now, Bryan Singer, who did the original X-Men, admits that he screwed up a lot.
He also screwed up Superman, fucker.
Yeah, he screwed up a lot in the X-Men movies. Which that he's going to fix.
Returns.
He's going to fix a lot of things in this.
So new he says. Didn't like? Probably.
Yeah, Superman Returns sucked. That's the one where he had the kid, his son.
With Lois Lane?
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that the one you didn't like?
I don't like a lot of them.
Okay. Anyway, so let's get back onto the remake.
So, things that sucked, though. What do you think Spider-Man?
Yeah.
And
it's not so much sucked. I'm just saying, you know, what have they not made?
What have they not made?
Or what have they not remade that they probably could? Mine are mainly, you know, more like the 80s style movies. Like she mentioned Monster Squad. They have a chance now to update it and make it better.
With special effects. Because
I went
nowadays.
Back and watched it as an adult, and it just doesn't hold up.
There's a lot of things that don't hold up.
Yeah. I mean, it was corny.
I think we need a divorce.
Like, and that's my whole thing with remakes.
Well, I'm single, ladies.
Monster Squad is great.
That's the thing with, I think, with these remakes that they do nowadays. You sometimes say, why do they need to do that? Like the whole original Superman movies. You know, I love those movies, but they're outdated. They need to be remade.
Well, sometimes the simpler versions are the best.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
they're
look
great.
Look what they did to Star Wars. I hate the remakes of the new Star Wars.
Exactly.
They ruined Indiana Jones. I love the original three, and they bring his stupid
yeah,
kid in.
There's some that suck.
Why do you have to redo them?
But Indiana Jones wasn't Indiana Jones wasn't a reboot or a remake. It was just a sequel.
But they updated everything.
Yeah.
Why do you have to update it? What is wrong with the original?
Well, the nostalgia. People want to feel that those things again.
So make a better quality movie. Stick it back out on theaters.
Yeah, but what I'm asking people is, what do you want to see remade that hasn't been? Come on, let's
well,
stay on
something
point.
Something I want to see that's hopefully going to come out because I haven't heard anything about it in a long time is RoboCop. I want to see that redone.
Yeah.
It was supposed to. It all just disappeared. I would like to see. I would like to see some of those old. Like Revenge of the Ninja and all those movies, the Ninja movies. But I'd like to see them redone.
And better.
Yeah, better.
We mean Revenge of the Ninjas.
It's like these
old ninja movies,
like
80s movies that were kind of cool for back then because they were the only ninja movies made.
But now you watch them and you're like, good God, these are awful.
Yeah, yeah.
It's horrible acting. Has anyone ever like got a ninja right? Like on the techniques and...
You know, the... what was the one that came out? Ninja... Assassin,
the one with Rain.
That one was pretty fucking cool. That one was pretty, especially technique and stuff. It was pretty dead on.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you guys did the ninja stuff together.
Yeah, but then again, that movie it was horrible.
Because wait, you said it was horrible?
Yeah, because think about it. I mean, through the whole movie, he was training and doing all this stuff, and learning how to do all the ninja shit, you know, and then his master, whatever, was the one who was, like, flying at the speed of light, cutting people to shit. And then there at the end, he did it. Why couldn't he just done that shit in the beginning and just made time?
Well, because he didn't realize he could do it till then.
It's
one of those things where the student becomes the master, you know.
That takes time to become a ninja.
It's one of those things where Asian movies don't worry so much on story and everything being, you know, in order and making sense as long as it looks cool.
No. I that was a really good ninja movie. Like, I've grown up most of my life in martial arts, and I think that was a hell of a ninja movie.
What other martial arts besides the ninja?
Hey, we're kind of on another topic. We can talk about that later.
Okay.
But that was a good one. You know, and I like Warrior, the Warrior.
Yeah, the Ong Bak, the Tony Jaa movies.
Was the new one that came out, was that Tony Jaa?
Wasn't it? Aren't they all?
I don't know.
Oh, wait, no, Warrior, that's the MMA movie.
No. I'm talking about I have it over there. I don't know the name. Anyways, what else would you like to see rebooted?
Good God, this is going awful. You know,
I think we're interesting.
I'd like to see something. I don't know if anybody at this table has ever seen it, but there's an old movie from the 80s called The Last Starfighter. It's about a kid, Alex Rogan, who lives in a trailer park, who doesn't really have much of a future. He's a maintenance guy.
The Warrior's Way. That was a good one.
Oh, that movie was shit.
Oh my God! See, this is where me and Tony bump heads because I don't know. I worry about his taste sometimes.
With everybody, don't worry.
It was horrible. Kate Bosworth's fucking bullshit accent in that movie, and then the guy who
that was a good movie. Every martial artist I know that saw that movie loved it.
Whatever. They were just trying so hard to be Tarantino, and they didn't.
Maybe your standards are just too high.
Maybe so. But I'm talking about The Last Starfighter, people, so here's what I'm saying. This kid has no future, they happen to deliver his arcade to his trailer park. And as it turns out, it's a test. He plays the shit out of this game until he gets like the highest score. Okay, he's going nowhere on Earth. And this stranger shows up in this like fancy car, futurist looking car. And he gets the kid to get inside, and they end up shooting to space. Okay, it sounds silly.
That is like this great movie.
Have you never seen The Last Starfighter?
It's an awesome 80s movie.
I'll lend it to you. I have it over there. Do you have a Blu-ray player?
Yeah.
I'll lend it to you. I have it on Blu-ray. It for an 80s movie, it is a really good movie.
But essentially, this kid is playing this video game, and the video game is like an application to join the Star League, which is it's like you know, space pilots.
He doesn't know it's an application, but they look at the highest scores because of the way that the controls are.
Isn't there another movie that had to do with games and being sucked into another realm already?
Probably. I don't know.
Yeah, there's probably a few.
But this movie was really awesome. And
it does hold up.
It does. But the graphics were very dated. It looks very early 80s. I mean, they're very Tron looking, you know.
That was the movie.
Tron. Okay.
Okay. You're welcome. So I would just like to see it remade.
That would be a good remake.
You know, because, I mean, think about it now. With that game.
And the special effects they could do now.
Yeah, but think of it. I mean,
but they would end up throwing, like, Justin Bieber in there as the fucking main guy.
But there are no arcades anymore. So it would be more of a
PlayStation.
There's no arcades.
There's not really many. Nobody plays, you know.
Every movie theater has an arcade.
Yeah, but have you seen the arcades? They're like Galaga and Miss Pac-Man and,
you know.
Well, couldn't they do a remake of, like, they could do a remake and then kind of put it in modern time?
Yeah,
and then,
put it on the PlayStation.
And then somebody wheel in the Last Starfighter machine and set it down in a small arcade.
That could be something, in a laundromat. I mean, it could have, if you, in the hands of the right
kind of like a throwback people, to the movie.
Yeah, it could be.
Or who
awesome.
Knows? It could be delivered. They could just do a trailer park nowadays and deliver it to the trailer park.
I mean, there are so many possibilities, and I love the movie to death, and I don't want them to change the tempo or the characters.
Yeah, no, everything was strong. It's a really good movie. It's very emotional. It's serious. I mean, it's an 80s. It sounds goofy as fuck.
And we're probably not doing it justice.
But it is a really good movie. It's kind of like another movie that I like that I would like to see redone would be Starman. Do you remember Starman?
Oh, yeah, with Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, I like that movie. That was a really good movie.
Marion from Indiana Jones, from the original, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Just because you tell me who it is doesn't mean I know what movie you're talking about.
The girl from the original.
I know
indie.
Who you're talking about. It doesn't mean I know what movie.
But yeah, Starman. I mean, that would be a cool
movie.
They
made a series about that. It didn't last very long.
What about you? Is there anything from your childhood you'd like to see redone?
They all ruin them.
Well, I mean, if you could, if you could pick something that,
for instance, they remade Fright Night, which was an awesome,
it turned out good
vampire movie that I loved in the '80s, and they redid it.
Something I just watched now, 2 days ago, which you may disagree with me, and I have a feeling you will. And there are some people that disagree, but I liked it. Red Dawn. I thought they did a good job.
I haven't seen the new one.
I thought they did a good job. I mean, I liked
it. Everything I like from the '80s, they've redone and ruined, like the Ninja Turtles, Thundercats.
When did they redo Ninja Turtles?
When did they redo Thundercat? Oh, you're talking about the cartoon.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
When did they redo a new movie for the Ninja Turtles?
Well, I know that they're working on.
But they have a cartoon. It's awful.
Oh, but there's 10 cartoons for Ninja Turtles.
It's awful. They remake most of them. I like, and I don't like them.
I mean, hopefully the movie will be okay, but Michael Bay and fucking
the Transformers.
What the fuck's that chick's name?
Oh, Megan Fox.
Megan Fox is April O'Neil. Fucking pissed me off.
Did I know that already?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, that's
maybe the concussion.
Remember, this is radio, not television. That's, so those eyes that just bug out of your head, they don't really convey to the people.
That's
listening.
Who's casted as April O'Neil.
That's horrible.
Yeah, that's crap.
Wait, didn't he?
Wasn't she
piss
a redhead?
Huh?
April O'Neil, yes.
April O'Neil's a redhead. Why couldn't they, like, I know Amy Adams isn't everything. They couldn't pick her, but why not, like,
That my point was that Megan Fox isn't a redhead.
Yeah, exactly.
That was my point.
Well, I mean, that's a small thing that you can fix or just
she
overlook.
She would look awful as a redhead.
Don't make her a redhead.
There are so many people that could play April O'Neil. Like, yeah. I'd even pick freaking Jessica Biel as April O'Neil over
Megan
Jessica Fox.
Biel. You got a problem with Jessica Biel?
No, I don't have a problem with her. She's on. I don't have list. A problem with her. I just saw something the other day with her that was really good.
She was really good in that Jet movie with what's his name's. I can't. Think
with
of
Jamie Foxx and I don't know the other guy.
She was just in a movie with Gerard Butler.
Stealth. That was a very good movie.
There's a movie with her and Gerard Butler that was really good.
And the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake she did to bring it all back was good.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. It's so hard to think of 80s movies off the top of my head that I'd like to see remade because they have
Maybe
done
Goonies?
A lot of them.
No, you don't have to touch Goonies.
Yeah, no, you can't touch Goonies.
We can touch all my other classics. Why not that one?
Because Goonies is awesome.
Goonies is a cult classic. I mean, well, and Last Starfighter is too, but it'd be kind of cool to see what they can do.
Yeah, and I know that for a while they were talking about making a sequel to Last Starfighter everyone back.
They're talking about remaking Gremlins.
Rough. Yeah. I can't see that because that's just fucked up. Gremlins and, you know, Goonies.
Why would they remake it?
I don't know.
What was wrong with it?
They're running out of ideas, it seems like, and they're just remaking everything. Anything else that you could think of?
Not off the top of my head. We just kind of keep.
I mean, I'd like to see. There were so many badass action movies in the 80s.
Yeah. Cobra. The Sylvester Stallone movie?
Oh, that would be cool.
I'd like to see that remake.
But who would you get to play Cobra?
Hugh Jackman.
No.
Yeah, he's kind of got that Rambo quality to him. No. If you see him in the original Wolverine movie?
No.
He looks good.
Look, there's a million people you can get to play him. You know, I mean, there's a ton. I mean, we're not unlimited in actors out there who could do it. You know?
You know who'd be a good Cobra?
Who?
You're gonna think I'm
if
ridiculous.
You say Joseph Gordon-Levitt, we're leaving.
You're gonna think I'm ridiculous. Is the guy from Game of Thrones that plays Khaleesi's husband?
Who?
Oh, which Jason one? Momoa.
He would be a cool Cobra,
but he's a horrible actor.
Why? What's wrong with him?
He wasn't as good as Khal Drogo, but he was shitty in that Conan movie.
But he no, I see. I liked him as Conan.
He looks great.
The movie itself was crap story wise. I think it could have been better, but I liked him as Conan. I thought he did a decent job as Conan.
I haven't seen it, but I'm sure he did wonderful.
I couldn't finish it.
He did a decent job.
Just because you can't finish doesn't mean it was bad.
It's on Netflix and...
You know, you don't like a lot of things that are popular by everybody else.
He was more of a Conan from the comic books than Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, which I would have been fine with. If they could have, you know, had a better story and they had got rid of Rose
That's
McGowan,
not his
who looked
fault.
Like shit. And he'd have brought up his... If they got a better director, he'd have brought
screwed.
His game.
He got screwed with Conan, but he was awesome in that Sylvester Stallone movie that just came out.
I didn't see that, but I did see like the fight scenes where they're fighting, or the previews.
He was good in that. I liked him. But I think he would be a cool Cobra, or... I mean, not Cobra. Yeah, Cobra.
Yeah.
I'm thinking G.I. Joe all of a sudden. But yeah, I mean, that would be a cool one to see redone.
Yeah.
I think you're just too picky.
Probably
you
so.
Are. I'm starting to notice that. He gave me shit in one of the very first podcasts about. He's like, you just love everything.
Well, yeah, it's true though. You do. Ask your sister.
I don't. It's, okay, my
he is just very picky. Just take him with a grain of salt.
Here's my thing. Now I'm starting to realize my sister-in-law is a lot like him, where they think they're gonna dislike everything.
Oh, and no,
then they
go in with eyes wide open. Yes, I do. I'm excited. I wouldn't go and see half.
See me shaking my head. I'm sorry.
I wouldn't go in to see half these movies if I thought it was gonna suck.
What were the five last movies you've seen that you think sucked?
Oh crap! I can't think off the top of my
head. We both agreed on Oz. That it wasn't as great.
But it didn't suck.
Hold on.
But it didn't suck.
It was
no,
just
it,
okay.
It was okay.
It was just okay.
But.
He didn't do any acting.
But Franco
really.
And Mila Kunis as the witch sucked.
I did not like him as the Oz.
Yeah, and her as the Wicked Witch
I don't,
sucked.
Eh, I had give or take her. But I don't think he did like anything extraordinary.
Exactly. Like,
which is why it was just okay.
But other than that, it was a good movie.
I can't think of any movies that suck. I can tell you movies I loved.
Like what?
I like Jack Reacher.
Jack Reacher was awesome.
Yeah.
You can't think of any of that suck because it seems like everything you hate.
No, I don't hate everything. I like a
lot
of stuff.
It's like every time I bring up a movie that I like, you're like, oh, that sucks.
Well, that's because you like everything.
I don't like everything.
You should hear how he talks about the TV shows I like.
I don't like everything. Like, okay, like TV shows. What are some things she watches that
Gossip Girl, that show was awful.
It was very popular.
Well, I don't watch it.
It's popular for... The Taco Wheel.
Is there anything that I would watch that she likes that you think sucks?
I don't know.
He hates NCIS.
You like Beauty and the Beast, and I can't get past what's her name, Kristen Crew, being a cop. She's 5'0". She can get her ass kicked the first time. She wouldn't have made it off patrol.
A friend who's a cop that's 5'6".
He's a dude, and he's actually pretty.
So you're saying a woman couldn't do a job if she's 5'4" and trained in martial arts?
I'm saying you put a hobbit up against anybody, and it's not going to work.
That is so not true. You trained. Hold on. You trained.
What I live with?
You trained in ninjutsu
for 6 months.
It was a year.
No, I understand that, but
six of active months.
But in that 6 months, you should learn that size doesn't matter.
Didn't you have an arm that beat the crap out of somebody?
If Sifu can beat the shit out of somebody and be a master,
it's about the skill.
See,
back in my martial arts days, I could pin you on your ass like that.
That's the problem with
Tony Brown.
Tony looks. No, well, his thing is he looks at everything and tears down everything that.
And then he misses it.
You look at every little thing. Like, you know, like I see things for the whole picture and what they could be or what they should be.
He focuses on one thing, and then it's all about that one.
Jesus Christ. When did this become fucking couch talk?
Well, because... No, I'm just saying. Like, okay, like Beauty and the Beast. The reason you think...
Beauty and the Beast?
Beauty and the Beast is a new TV series that they...
They
revamped, like, the cartoon Beauty and the Beast. But it's more like the old TV series. Remember the old TV series? There was an old TV series with
Ron Perlman and Linda Hamilton. You didn't watch
Linda
it. It was
Hamilton,
on CBS.
Yeah. And he basically lived in the sewers, and she was a detective.
Oh, yeah. I did see that, yeah.
Well, this is a revamped version.
Wasn't that not that long ago?
Isn't that 80s and 90s?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, but this is a revamped version, and it's Kristen Kruick that plays a detective, and the guy that plays the Beast was a soldier that they did experiments on. That now it gave him some sort of like animal instincts, and he would he has this big scar on his face.
Now, what don't you like about it?
You know,
he's never watched it.
Yeah, I did. I watched it with you, and it didn't suck.
Why are you
giving me shit about it?
Because I was telling you that was my first issue was her being so small.
See, and I like her because I know. I mean,
you're a sizist.
If you take, I don't care how big the person is, you train them as a cop
they could be
or
a lethal weapon.
Yeah, I mean they can.
Okay,
you know.
Anyway, all I'm saying is,
but yes, I watch Beauty. I watch Beauty and the Beast, and it's not a bad show.
I go in watching to movies excited, thinking everyone's going to be awesome.
You can't do that.
You know, he can't watch. you know, he can't watch NCIS because the guy Tony there is so much like him. And their names are Tony.
He is, isn't he?
He is. He's just like Tony.
All right.
She might be our permanent.
At the
50, she might
at
be
the,
our
at
permanent.
The 50-minute mark to the 58-minute mark, we're going to exit all this shit out.
No, but I'm serious. I mean, I'm
actually having fun.
I like a lot of movies. I like movies because I look at what they.
Too bad you're
be.
Not gonna have to promote it on your website.
If we could just exit some of that email out.
Hey, it's not our fault.
But yeah, I mean, like, so what else does she watch that you don't like?
That's about it.
When I used to watch Seventh Heaven, he wanted to blow the whole WB.
For
up.
Somebody who loves Jessica Biel, you didn't watch
I know,
Heaven?
Right?
This was after she left.
Well, no, listen, it was the entirety of. our relationship while Seventh Heaven was on. He's like, I just want to blow the whole studio up.
I like Seventh Heaven.
See?
But I'm going to say this. I like a lot of things that most guys probably wouldn't admit to liking, but could like if they watched it.
What didn't you like? You didn't like Mom or...
But I like a lot of guy stuff too. I'm not just like
I like a lot of guy stuff.
I have a sensitive side. I like Seventh Heaven. I like Beauty and the Beast.
I didn't like Lucy, and I didn't like Ruthie.
I like the OC.
He doesn't like what's wrong? He liked the OC. Don't let him tell you he didn't. He got me hooked on the OC.
The OC was good.
God, we're gonna have to tuck our sacks back here in a second. Let's fucking man up this bitch. God bless.
But see, I watch things to get me out of my own life.
Isn't that why you watch?
Yeah, exactly.
That's why everybody watches.
But Tony's like, oh, that wouldn't really happen in my life.
But he's exactly like Tony from NCIS.
You know what? Y'all can both eat a bag of dicks. This is bullshit. When did this become fucking bash me?
Listen, you're one of my dearest friends, dude.
Aw, that's so sweet.
You're
fired.
He has a temper.
Like, what are some things you like?
I like a lot of shit.
Like, what do you watch on TV? What do you like?
Look, the good shows that I really, really enjoy are Walking Dead, Game of Thrones.
Walking Dead's awesome. Game of Thrones, awesome.
Shameless. I'm a big Shameless fan.
Shameless is just so...
He used to love Alias. He got me hooked on that, too.
Yeah, I loved Alias, and I love the idea that...
That's very able to happen.
Okay, you can't give me shit because Veronica Mars was pretty much like Beauty and the Beast and all these other shows that we watch.
Veronica Mars was based in reality, though. More or less. Shut up. Don't look at me.
I keep forgetting they can't see my face.
Wasn't Veronica Mars like a teenage detective?
Yes, she was.
It was like
Inspector Gadget for reality.
Yeah.
Really? When did the helicopter pop out of her head?
Oh my god, everything that did, what would a high schooler be able to do that?
It was like a little older version of Carmen Sandiego.
Yes, there is a better example, Carmen Sandiego.
I mean, I liked Veronica Mars, don't get me wrong, I'm just saying.
I like what I like,
and I don't expect everyone to like what I like, and I don't really hold anybody for liking shit.
Oh, you give me shit all the time.
Oh, no, I'll give you shit, but I'm not going to hold it against you.
Yes, you do. You hold it against me all the time.
It's because you're smarter than this.
Tony's like, I am never doing this again. Never.
He's been, like, begging me to come do this with you guys. And I finally say, he's probably like, fuck you, get out.
Hold on. In Tony's words, Tony, everything done here is in good fun. All right.
Fuck all of y'all.
Something I do want to talk about.
This is my last podcast.
I know we're almost going to – we're getting close to wrapping up here, but I do want to bring up – I started watching a new show that y'all might like.
But it sucks.
I bet I like it.
Bates Motel.
Oh, that show is awesome.
It is really good.
You both agree.
Bates Motel is really good. Have you seen it?
She doesn't know what –
I have not.
Did you ever see the Psycho movie, the old one, the Alfred Hitchcock?
That's not the one with Christian Bale.
Norman Bates. No, that's American Psycho.
Oh,
American.
Yeah, Psycho's the Hitchcock story.
I love Alfred Hitchcock movies, though.
Have you never seen Psycho?
I might have.
The one with the mom, yes, I've seen that. That's Psycho.
Okay.
Where he dresses up in his mom's clothing. Yes. Okay. This is a TV series based on the younger version of Norman Bates and how they bought the motel and everything that leads up to
it. And it's updated to the 21st century.
Yeah.
It's really cool. It's
really good.
But you find out that they moved locations.
It's really good.
They moved it from California to where are they, in Oregon now?
Yeah, I think so.
And this town he moved into is totally fucked. I mean, yeah, it's corrupt. It's like, so you kind of understand where Norman, aside from his weird mom.
The first 10 minutes, I was like, oh, this sucks. And then all of a sudden it takes these turns and you're like, whoa. And his mom, it kind of seems like his mom puts off this vibe like she wants to sleep with him.
Ew.
He belongs to her and only her kind of thing. And like, there's going to be some sort of relationship that builds up. I guess that, because in the movie, I guess that's...
Can you do that on TV?
I don't know. I don't see why not. Yeah. They do everything else now.
What did we watch? We watched Game of Thrones and Jamie and...
That is on HBO.
They showed A&E. If they can show a guy raping her over a kitchen table, I don't see why they couldn't. But it's pretty twisted. It's going to be really good. And the kid that plays Norman has this, like... He's a kid from August Rush, right?
Yeah, give me a second. I'll tell you the name.
Freddie Highmore, yeah.
He played Charlie in the Charlie and the Factory remake with Johnny Depp.
But he has this weird persona. Like it's almost like an awkward voice.
That's one remake I didn't like.
Yeah, that was not good.
Which makes sense, because Norman Bates was an unusual
fella. Yeah, he's playing the character really well.
Yeah,
like,
but Freddie Highmore's a pretty good actor. Yeah. You know, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, August Rush, I mean, I've
cried. I will give Tony this, though. Usually when I fight him on shows and say I don't want to watch it, when I eventually watch it, I end up addicted.
I'm not going to watch shit, like apparently everyone else at this table.
You should get her to watch Bates Motel.
What did
really
I get you addicted on? What was that show?
Vagina. Oh.
You weren't already addicted on that before?
Not to your brand. Are we going to cut that out?
Yes.
Something else coming up that looks really good that y'all need to watch is Da Vinci's Demons. Have you seen the trailer for that?
Mm-mm.
If you like Game of Thrones and stuff like that.
Is it about the Da Vinci Code?
No, it's about Leonardo da Vinci himself. Yeah. It looks really good. It's on Stars though.
Most shows I give an episode or two.
He does. I will give him that. He gives them a chance.
I think you should go and start watching Vampire Diaries, really.
I'm so far behind.
It doesn't matter. It's all on Netflix. You can catch up so quick.
Anyway, I think we wasted enough time
on Sons of Anarchy.
On everything else, let's go ahead and get to the meat of it. We're here to discuss Ashley Niemer, the author.
He left. Can't talk about the Christmas book.
So, Alex, I'll hand it over to you. Go ahead. Have fun. Ask your questions. You got questions, don't you?
So, how did you get into writing?
I've been writing for years.
Get help me out here.
Started as just a kid. Like, my brother and I, when we were little, we used to paint.
A little closer.
We used to paint on, like, wood and stuff, and so that's what I used to do for creativity. And then when I learned how to articulate better, then I started writing. And
okay.
In high school, I did original oratory for part of my UIL competition on the debate team. I did really good on it. And that was where you would just come up with a 10-minute speech. You would write it out. You had to memorize it on any topic that you wanted. And so that's kind of where I got started. And I had a few poems published in college.
Sweet.
So
what got you into this modern, these novels that you're writing now?
Okay. So
your modern life.
The vampire one? That one?
I'm not going to lie. I kind of admire the fact that you write books, because for the longest time, I've wanted to write a book.
Then you should.
I can't articulate as well as you. But, like, I've talked to Tony a few times. Like, oh, man, I want to write a book. Like, help me write a book, because I have a lot of stories to tell.
Well, the one that I started with, The Blood Purple, it started when I lost my job and I was just sitting around doing nothing. And my aunt and I were researching our heritage, where we came from in Lebanon and all these different things. And I was reading one of the Black Dagger Brother books at the same time, which is another vampire series.
Okay.
And I thought, you know, you never have any vampires from the Middle East. They're like from Russia, Romania, you know, England, different popular parts. But you never see any from the Middle East.
Okay.
So I took my family's actual lineage traditions and like where we came from, and I put it into the series. Like, for example, you can trace my paternal grandmother's roots to one of the 13 original tribes of Lebanon. And they were there, like, you know, when the Middle East started and all that stuff. And they fought off, and obviously lost, through the Muslim invasion. And so they were chased up into the mountains, where the 13 tribes just, you know, stayed.
Okay.
So my vampires live in the mountains in the Middle East, in Lebanon.
That's interesting.
In Zahle, Lebanon. Z-A-H-L-E, whatever. I'm probably saying it wrong. So I did So I first had to research the terrain of Lebanon, and I had to find a city in the mountains. So then I researched the history of that city. So in 1777, that city burned down. It had just some internal conflict among themselves and just
vanished.
So I use that history of the real city as part of the history of my vampires, saying that, you know, the bad guy, what's the word for that?
Villain?
Antagonist.
There we go.
That he was actually the cause of it.
Okay.
And so I do just different things I take throughout the U.S. history. And like I have the Muslim invasion as part of the, you know, the vampires, because I have it to where they were created before the humans, and humans were created as cattle for the vampires. The vampires created the humans, not God. And so the Bible and everything that they are, all the different, you know, spiritual religions, were really about the vampires, because the humans were made in their likeness. And so they're like, have you ever heard of the invisible hand theory?
No.
It's an economic theory where, like, there's this invisible hand guiding everybody throughout life.
So
I take that theory that they use in, you know, education and things like that, and apply it to the vampires. So all the wars that happened were because of because you have the good vampires, you have the bad vampires. So you have the bad vampires influencing the humans, causing this greed, you know, internal turmoils amongst themselves and just throughout all of history. So, like, you know, Atlanta burned down during the Civil War. Well, that was because of actually the good vampires. The good vampires burned it down when they were trying to fight off their uncle and different things like that.
Dude, this would be an awesome movie.
So it's going to print. And if I sell enough print books, then it's going to probably get a movie option from this producer.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you really want to say that to the 12 people who listen to this thing?
I'm safe on the 12 people. Maybe they'll go buy it and help myself.
Like, that is a really interesting take on the mythology.
It's a whole new series. And the thing about my vampires, whereas, like, I can't speak for, like, Vampire Diaries and other ones like that, but the ones that I read, I notice that there's a lot of just the vampire-ness of it, like the sucking of the blood and everything that comes with that, and how, you know, when you feed, it's all sexual and all these different things. And I didn't want my vampires to be that stereotypical.
Okay.
So while it is a vampire book, that is really a secondary factor.
Okay.
That's not what it is truly about.
They do have fangs, though, right?
They do have fangs, and they do sparkle. Elongate. No, they do. Okay. And here's the thing about my vampires. And let's take Edward as a perfect example from Twilight. Their skin is, like, impenetrable. They're very hard to kill. You have to detach their head. You have to do all these amazing feats to kill them. My vampires are not like that. They're like humans. They're not immortal. They die. They have a 5,000-year natural lifespan, but they still die off. Mm-hmm. And they die like everybody else. Now, Alex versus my Alec, of course the human would die. But my vampire against another vampire, it would just be like you and me fighting.
Okay.
So they are easily killed by other vampires, but not by humans.
By humans.
Right.
Okay.
And so they have weaknesses, and my heroes do not start off as heroes. They will break down, and their own worst enemies are themselves, and they crumble. But then they build themselves back up because I feel like a hero
exactly.
can only be a hero if they've earned it. They can't just go into it as already the hero.
I agree the same.
So I have the three books.
My Superman theory.
I have Blood Purple, Blood Yellow, and Blood Green. And they will continue that storyline, and it won't finish till Blood Green. And so that means my heroes in Blood Purple are going to just fall apart in Blood Yellow. They hit a bottom.
So these are the sequels, Blood Yellow.
Yeah, and you have to read them in correct order. You're totally lost.
So how did you get the name Blood Purple, Blood Yellow, Blood Green?
Well, blood for the vampire portion.
Okay.
And purple's my favorite color.
Okay.
So purple is Nicole's book, and Nicole is my middle name. And there's no real, like, Arabic translation for Nicole, so I just made it a K and made it a little exotic.
Right.
But so when she started out, she was kind of me, and she's a lot me. And some of the things, like, I exaggerate on. But, you know, her eyes turn purple. They turn violet. And she has the ability to control fire. Because each vampire has some magical element.
Okay.
And everyone is different. And they're passed down through lineage. So if you have a whole family that only controls water, you're not going to control fire. So you have to have the mix. And then only the bloodline of the royalties that were created by the alien gods, because it's not just one goddess.
So you do talk about how they became vampires, how they created.
But only the ones that were from them, from the descendants, can flash and teleport places. Nobody else can. Because I think that's kind of crap, too. Everybody has all these abilities.
Right.
And I don't like that. So I wanted my royal family to really step aside and be different. And so now if you have, like, traumatic events, then that alters your brain chemistry. Because, you know, when you think about it, when you go through something traumatic, that really tears a person apart.
And it changes
you. And so
you.
It does. And so I've made it to where if you go through something like that, then you have a different set. It might not be controlling the element, but it's controlling something else. And it gives you just a little something different. Because I think it changes a person when you go through stuff like that. So everybody is very different. So Nicole controls fire. I love fire. So that was very obvious for me. And she has an older brother, because I've always wanted an older brother.
Uh-huh.
And so Zane is the older brother, and he controls water, and his eyes turn yellow. And that's where I got Blood Yellow from, because that's more his book.
We probably don't want to give too much away so people will read it.
Right. I mean, I haven't given a lot away.
Yeah, I know.
But it's very
deep. That's really cool.
And so Blood Purple starts out kind of slow the first three chapters, because I'm not taking a regular vampire theory. I'm making it an entirely new thing, so you have to explain it.
Uh-huh.
You have to lay down the foundation.
Right,
so you have to stick through the first three chapters, and then at chapter four, it just explodes.
And right now it's only on Kindle?
It's on Kindle. Is it
paperback yet?
We've just made the cover
okay.
for the paperback, so it's in the process.
Do you know when that comes out?
Hopefully by April 20th, because I have a book fair then.
Okay.
But for sure by May, by Comic Palooza.
Okay.
But
I know people that'll read it. They don't have Kindles, so the book would be the only way.
Yeah, it's coming out. Okay. And I've gotten like really, really good feedback on the fact that it's just different. And that the vampires are it is about the brother and sister against the uncle and his kids. It is about those family dynamics.
Right, right.
And you know like how some of them take drama that's stormed up from this unbelievable stuff and you're kind of like sometimes lost how things happen?
Right.
I take drama of just everyday relationships.
And incorporate
it. And that's what it causes the explosions, because that's what real life is.
I'll be honest. It literally is the most original thing.
I think so.
Vampire-wise, I've heard in a long time.
And that's the thing about it. And you don't have to be a vampire. I mean, of course, there's going to be blood sucking. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's going to be everything that goes with that. And I was really nervous on the first book, because I thought, my God, my parents are going to read this and I'm writing about sex. So it's really tamed down on the first one. But after...
Have they read it?
Yeah.
And
there's too much sex. And there's too much cussing. Only 1% of the words are cuss words, but you know, my dad jokes about saying that every excerpt I post on Facebook has cuss words in it. I'm like, no, it doesn't, Dad. And I go back and I'm like, every damn excerpt has cuss words in it.
Well, he definitely doesn't want to listen to this podcast.
Yeah, probably not.
Do your vampires, does the daylight affect them like other
people? No,
they're normal.
They're normal.
Okay.
I mean, because I really wanted to take everything about humanity that we feel and put it out there. And, like, I'm trying to – now, ironically, the timelines that I set, you know, 3 years ago on this, 2 years ago on this, actually match up to historical stuff like Noah's Ark and things like that are in the Bible and all these different things. So I'm trying to I'm going to have an insider's guide that has all these extra little, like, stories and facts that I can't fit into a book somewhere. But – you know, what I have in mind is like, you know, we made humans do these horrible things because the vampires were horrible. And I want them to be washed away. And we can control water. And the exact year fits perfectly. And I can't even believe I was so excited when I found that. And just all these little, like, extra things.
Tied in. Okay.
And so, like, I have Hadar's daughter, Lee.
And Hadar
is the evil uncle.
Okay.
I had him escape to England when, you know, shit hit the fan. And so he, you know, met up with Sarah there. And so they have a child, or three children.
Uh-huh.
And I have Lee being responsible for the Black Death. Because the timeline, of course, when I put her birth and all this stuff, fits to where she had to prove to her father that she can do this. That she could be in part of the army. She could help him, Lee, to take over control. And just all these, like, little extra things. It's really hard to research places I've never been.
Right.
So, like, I had to find the name of the forest in England in, you know, 1600 or whatever, and it's the New Forest, but it's not the New Forest. That wasn't what they called it then, so I have the original name.
Right, right.
And so it's very
history. That sounds really awesome.
Historical depth.
And the fact that there's possible movie.
I'm very excited about that.
I mean, that would literally be pretty cool. Like, okay, so say you have the movie option. That mm-hmm. comes up, and they want to make this movie, because honestly, it sounds like something that would do very well because it's original.
Right.
Who would you cast as your four main characters?
I have no idea, because they have to be Middle Eastern.
You envision them.
Well, why would they? You don't necessarily look Middle Eastern.
Okay, but I am.
But your parents don't necessarily look. Your dad doesn't necessarily look Middle Eastern.
Is there anybody that... Okay, no, have you... Do you watch somebody...
Oh, one of my friends wants Gerard Butler as Nasser. I don't think that would ever happen.
When I think Middle...
I want Will Smith, but I have no black characters.
I think Middle Eastern, I think of this one character. Did you ever watch... I know you did. The Spy, the chick that's the spy?
Covert Affairs?
Covert Affairs. Did you watch Covert Affairs? Yeah. No?
The Indian guy from Heroes.
The Indian guy for Heroes that plays
Yeah, but he's Indian.
But he could... you could pull off... Doesn't he kind of look like he would be...
But he's Indian.
It doesn't matter. They have to look... They could just look
that
way.
That's like saying a Japanese guy could play a Korean or Chinese.
Do they look that different?
Well, yeah.
I thought he was Middle Eastern. I didn't know he was Indian.
Well, he's Indian.
I thought in Heroes he just played Indian.
But he's an Indian.
Oh, okay. All right.
And, I mean, let me think of, like, who... don't know.
We could throw Kristen Stewart in?
No.
No, you sure?
No.
No. She can't just, act worse.
What's the chick from Being Human? Is she Indian or is she Middle Eastern?
I don't know.
Megan Rath, whatever. Yeah, she's Indian. She says she's on the show, she says she's Indian.
I don't know what she is. But she is, like, you have to have the olive skin tone.
So a lot of we could throw some Greeks in there.
Yeah, you could throw some, you have to have and it's really cool.
Brad Pitt played a good Greek.
It's really cool because when I hit time for Blood Yellow, I was like, you know, I really want to add Arabic words in here. Because I have, like, Arabic script, and I had some friend do that for me. But so they let me revamp Blood Purple. So, like, mother, father, brother, sister, uncle is all in Arabic. Because I can feel like it would help with the culture.
Right, right.
And then I take a lot of the bad stereotypes of the Middle East world. And I just expand on them.
Okay.
Because Hadar is a very evil. And the thing about, here's the best part about how I write these bad guys. You end up loving them.
Uh-huh.
You root for the bad guys. Because in my mind, the bad win. I mean, look at all around us. I mean, bad guys win every day. You know, it's not all, the good guys don't always win. So at the end of the series, a good guy, a good storyline will end up unhappy. And a bad guy is going to get their way. Because that's how life is. It's not going to be, and it's not going to be. It's not going to
be. It's not going to be the typical happy ever after.
It's not.
That's awesome. I think we should like probably close it out there unless you have other questions. Because I don't. I really don't want to give too much away. Because it sounds.
I haven't given any away really. Like, it sounds really interesting.
Like it seems like you have, but I haven't read it, so I don't know what you.
I've given nothing away in reality. Nothing's been given.
I mean, do you have any? Do you have anything you want to?
Well, she does have a couple other books, and she has one that's in print now that we should talk about.
My first book is Maverick Touch that came out in print. My first print book.
Yeah, we did an ad on that the other day.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, okay. And it looks phenomenal. Okay. I mean, I holding it in my hand. Tony took pictures of me like step by step opening the box when I got the proof. It's like an April O'Neil.
It's an actual paper book?
It's a paper book.
Oh, okay.
It's like April O'Neil meets Dexter.
Okay.
For the concept.
I like Dexter.
What?
Yep, a little closer.
Okay. So, and again, this was really hard to write because I did not want my bad guys to be lovable. Because I did so good on the vampire bad guys, and so writing the bad guy scenes was very hard. It was like hard to control myself because I didn't want it to get into all the bloody detail. Uh-huh. So like, I'll give you an example. In Blood Yellow, one of the bad guys like carved something in a guy's nuts. So I mean, you know, I get really detailed with those. Wow. And I didn't want to do that in Maverick Touch. I want to keep it more clean, more like anybody can pick it up and read. That was very, very hard for me.
Huh.
And I wrote it in 7 weeks because I tried to participate in the Nano where you write 50,000 words in a month, but I got sick. So it took me 7 weeks instead of the four. So
I couldn't imagine writing.
It's the fastest book I've written. Weeks. And it's just, you end the book smiling.
Okay.
You know, and so Tony wanted a character named after him. So he got the cat. The cat's name is Tony the Tiger. Triple T. but Nadia, she's sassy. She's funny. She gets into
and
all
Nadia
sorts.
Is...
The main character. She's the news reporter.
Nadia Maverick.
Nadia Maverick. And I came up with the name because I wanted something exotic for the first name, and I was watching Maverick the movie that I put them together. But she gets into trouble. She doesn't do anything that she's supposed to do. Her best friend is Gabe, and they kind of team up on stuff together, and. There's a twist. The bad guy's name is Carlisle Ali, and he's very different because the Dexter mentality, you kill bad guys, not just a regular random serial killer. So he gets his mythology that he follows through the Egyptian gods,
okay.
A specific one of justice, Bastet. And, you know, she is the goddess of cats, too. So he has a cat, and the cat's name is Miss Kitty. That was my brother and I's first cat's name. So it's very different. From just a regular thing, and
well, that's awesome that you have two, like completely different style books coming out. I mean, that's pretty cool. And your third one is
it's a Christmas, a short story one. My late grandfather, was very proud of me for writing, but he was like, "All right, you spent enough time on your Arabic culture, you got to do something for the Irish part of you." So I was like, "Okay, Grandpa." So he died last year, May 31st. So the first week of June. I started writing this Christmas story for him, and I use his family names.
Okay.
Like Bud was his dad's name. Doran was the actual Irish family name from his family back there. And the main girl's name is Lucy, which is my grandmother's middle name. And so Bud and Lucy, you know, have to find this love. It is cute, it's really short romance love. And it's completely clean. There's, like, only allusion to sex. And, I mean, you know, it was perfectly fine. Tony does not like my dialect in it because I use the Irish dialect.
Actually, you don't want to tell anybody that you're trying to sell here.
I know, but it's just like they all know how picky you are. But everybody loves it. Like, these review sites that don't even know me, have no association. Like, one gave it a 4.5 stars and gave it this crown of heart. And it's, like, now in competition for one of the best books that they've reviewed for the year. Wow. And so I'll find out in August if the readers voted for it or not. But I'm still included in that, you know. And that's the best part. These people that have no connection to me whatsoever loved it.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
And it was great for my grandpa because, yeah. I mean, that was just all he wanted. He wanted a book about the Irish.
And that's something that's going to be out there forever.
And I'm working. And Tony gave me the name for the sequel, Bud's Christmas Miracle. So I'm 3,000 words into that.
I get 10% of the proceeds.
No, you don't.
So you, I mean, you're just, I mean, you're book after book after book.
Well, it's been really hard with that concussion. Because, I mean, that really, like, stopped my writing. And I've, like, had a really hard 2013 writing. Like, before, I could write 1,000 words in an hour. Now it takes me, like, a week to write 1,000 words.
Wow.
Because I'm like, I can't. It just is so hard. Now, when I was, like, really doped up on the narco, man, it flowed. I just closed my eyes and type. I got 20,000 words.
Same. Even with it.
Okay, sorry. He's being very picky.
Well, it's not picking you up on the mic. You have to stay even. I know you're excited and animated, but you have to stay.
Sorry.
Throw your hands in the air like you just don't care, but stay close to the mic.
My bad. It's my first podcast.
Doing very well, by the way.
Yeah.
But it is just different than I have a poetry book, and my poetry is very dark because I think a lot of times people think poetry is happy, go lucky, you know, sunshine, all that crap. Right. And my girlfriends and I, we got together, we have 60 poems that are, mine are the happiest of all of them, and they're not that happy. So, I mean, I wrote a lot of it, you know, while my grandpa was dying. Like, most of Blood Yellow, all of Blood Yellow, except for, like, the last portion, was while I was tending to him in the hospital. A lot of my poems were watching my grandpa die. And, I mean, and that's life to me, you know, and that's what goes on. And it's the greatest outlet that I've found for grief. And, I mean, and what a better way to honor somebody.
Right, right.
You know, like, there's a death scene in Blood Yellow, and it just is heart-wrenching. And it's when they're taking the body away, and they're saying goodbye to it. And I wrote that 5 hours after we said goodbye to my grandpa. Like, after the you know, they came and took his body. And so it's just, it's all right there. And it's so vivid.
Wow.
And, you know, like, all my beta readers are just like, we can't read this. We just cry.
That is crazy.
You know?
Like, I tell you, like, as soon as that comes out, I haven't read very often, but I will buy the book and I will read it. And
you'll have to tell me what you think.
I will tell you what I think.
It's a very different style.
Like,
of
I'm
writing.
Excited about it, and I haven't even read it. Like, I'm just sitting here like, okay, I got to read this.
It's a very different style of writing. English was never my strong thing in school. So proper grammar and all that is, I'm getting a lot better as I have to edit my stuff.
That's my problem.
As I have to edit my stuff, I get a lot better. So now, like, I read other stuff, I'm like, this was not edited right because I've had to work so hard on it. But I read book after book on how to edit. And so it's a different writing style. Because, like, a lot of people, you know, take, like, to proper grammar and proper, like, sentence context.
Right.
And I don't do that. I just let it go. And then we go back and, like, fix it, make sure it's the right tense and all that. So.
Because I've talked to Tony about writing, like, I'm like, man, I really want to write a book. I can't, my grammar sucks. Like, I'll be honest, I can't write. My grammar sucks.
I'm sure your
grammar's
better than mine.
But, you know, like, I've told Tony, you know, and I'll ask you because, I mean, y'all are married and, you know, he's working on his book. I don't know how that's going.
We're one chapter in, right?
Yeah. And we've been one chapter in for about a year.
The first chapter that he wrote, though,
I read it.
I mean,
it's
it was
good. Yeah, it's good.
And I'm like, okay. And he's like, I just can't do chapter two. I'm like, well, okay, we'll skip chapter two, do to chapter three.
And go back
I
to chapter two.
I can't do that. Can't do that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was good. I mean,
it was a good one.
I really think he should finish it.
He really should.
But anyway,
I'd question, like, serious question. Would you ever consider collaborating?
I do collaborate.
Okay.
So, one of my best friends, Stacy, she and I are doing two. So we've read these books that say the way to make money is to have the 99-cent books.
That's why everyone goes into the writing business.
Well, we want to get popular. We want people to like us. And so it's similar to a comic concept that we thought of because of Tony.
Tony, yeah.
And so you're like, have you monthly subscriptions that come out, $2.99, $3.99, $4.99, whatever, for your comics. So we're going to do that for books, for 99-cent books. And we were looking, the average is between 2,000 and 6,000 words. So we're going to shoot between 5 and 8. And so one is going to be kind of a paranormal one with witches. It takes place in Israel and Egypt, and we use the Egyptian gods. And another is going to be an erotic one, which is – and so we're just going to take turns each month writing a different one. So like right now, I'm writing about a fantasy cruise, this girl named Faith, and it's a sex cruise pretty much. But she didn't know she was going on it. Like her coworkers bought it for her. Right. And so she just shows up.
So she just pops up on the sex cruise.
She pops up and she didn't know about it. And so I'm 3,000 words into that one, and so I'm halfway done with it.
Okay.
So, but I love collaborating.
I mean, because I've mentioned it a few times. Like I've all my life I've wanted to write a book or a movie or script.
You should totally do it.
I've tried, but then again, it's that articulating thing. Yeah. If I could, because let me tell you, I've lived a life that. I've seen things in my life that I wouldn't wish on enemies. Like I have a lot of stuff that a lot of things I can use as stories, especially extremely emotional ones. So like I told Tony, I'd be willing to sit down if y'all were ever interested in collaborating and trying to help make a story.
I should totally do it.
That would be cool.
Because let me tell you about Tony. He's very picky about the words he chooses, but the words he chooses have a lot of oomph in them.
Yeah.
You know, and that first chapter is a really good chapter that he wrote. Yeah. So, I mean, he would be awesome to collaborate. I couldn't do it, though. We would kill each other. We would kill each other, absolutely. But
you
I
and
think
Tony?
Me and Tony. But I think he could do it with somebody that's not his wife, that he doesn't have to live with and all this stuff.
Okay, now, here's the important thing. Tell us about Maverick Touch and the publishing process and what you went through, because I think a lot of people will be interested to know what you did for this book.
So this book is different than the Blood series and the Christmas series. I went through to a publisher out of Canada.
Uh-huh.
For that. So that was a traditional publisher route. So this one I did on my own. And so I used the Amazon vendor CreateSpace, and I paid them to do the distribution. And so what I did is I paid an editor myself to edit the book. Okay. My friend Soxie does all my covers, so she made a cover for me. And we just did the whole process myself, pretty much. And I had the editor edit it. I had a college English professor, retired. I had her edit it as well. And then, of course, like my friends, like, would send stuff and all that. And so I put it out there on my own. And my goal is to, like, because you get so much more of the royalties. You get, you know, 40 to 80% of the royalties on your own versus 10%, you know, with a publisher. Yeah. So the goal is for the Maverick series to fund my year's worth of stuff. Like, hopefully it will fund all the marketing I need to do. I'm going to a conference in August. The goal is if I sell enough of those, then I will generate that money to make me able to do better on my other series.
Right, right. That's cool.
And then you just have more control. Like, this one is going to be able to be in iTunes as soon as it's accepted by Apple because I can pick who it's distributed. Whereas if you have a publisher, they're only going to distribute to the ones that they want.
Right, right.
You know? And so, like, I did Smashwords. And that's easy place to distribute to. But they give discount codes. You can do discount codes. And it doesn't cost the author anything.
Okay.
So, like, anyone who buys a print version, I'm going to give them a digital version for free. Because a lot of people, like, have Kindles or Nooks or things like that. Right, or the Sony readers or the Kobos. And so I'm just going to include that. Or if you buy a print version of Blood Purple when it comes out, I'm going to give Maverick Touch for free.
Okay.
And it doesn't cost me any money. Unlike other websites that make you pay for the difference in price or stuff like that. And it's just much, much more headache, but it gives you that much more control.
And more money.
More money. I mean, the goal is not necessarily to get rich, but to be able to fund it.
It would be nice to do what you love for a living. And
I spend about $35 a month in advertising because I have a marketing company that sends me places, and you have to do giveaways and things like that. So if I could bring in that $35 a month, that would be great because then it doesn't cost me anything. So, like, I've done this whole process on my 2012 royalties. I mean, and that's only going to last, you know, so long. So it's a process.
It sounds like a tedious process. But it's worth it in the long run.
It is, and I'm getting great feedback on my blogs, and you guys should totally blog for Knights of Geek to my
friends. We have a blog.
But you should blog more than just your podcast. You should type stuff out. I mean, I've told Tony this. My blog, when I post a blog,
I don't even think Tony's put anything on Facebook.
We did the first post. When I blog, I get 70 to 100 hits on my blog every time when I post a blog.
You should start blogging, buddy.
Start blogging too. And that's a great way to start writing because you can write about anything.
Yeah.
And it starts getting your audience. And then, I mean, because the blog sites, they have people that just hop blog to blog to blog to blog. And if you post blogs, and I'll add you on my blog like page. And, I mean, it really works across promoting. I mean, you get more fans that way, guys.
Okay. Well, so where can we find your books and you?
So I'm on Amazon, Ashley Niemer, A-S-H-L-E-Y-N-E-M-E-R. Or you can go to my website, ashleyniemer.com. I'm also on Facebook, Ashley Niemer. You can search. But the website, my website is probably the easiest, because if you want a signed copy of the print book, you can buy a link there. It's $10 for the book, and if you want me to send it to you, it's $2
for shipping.
Maverick Touch. I got 50 at home, ready for the book fair in April, but I mean, I'll be glad to sell them early. And it's 51,000 words. So I did it in a 6x9 book, so it's a taller book, so it's not as thick, but the content is still, you know, the same. Because that's apparently the new trend.
How many pages?
On that, it's 132 pages.
It's not bad.
It's not bad, but here's the thing, because I've been formatting my friend's books.
Uh-huh.
My friend has a book that's only 600 words longer than mine, and it's 60 pages longer.
Wow.
And I'm like, it's just how you put it together. It's very misleading, the thickness of books. Right. That's what I've discovered. So.
All right. Well, I mean, go out.
I can't wait for you to like read the vampire one. Yeah, though, I'm excited.
Like, I definitely will read that. I definitely will grab that as soon as it's on paperback.
So I mean, the feedback though has been great.
Yeah, that's what Tony has said. It's getting
He's
really
my
good feedback.
Critic.
Yeah, if Tony likes it, it might be good.
You get Tony to endorse.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say so. Anything anybody want to add before we?
No, I think. Close down shop. I mean,
thank
I think
you
we
guys. I've had a lot of fun.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome back anytime. Like as a alternate, you know, permanent third, that would be cool. I think or fourth.
I don't know that Tony could handle that.
I couldn't, and it's not going to happen.
He doesn't like not being.
Anytime we need a sub, I suppose we could, if we can rein her in. But
rein her in. Did you hear that?
Alex, do you want to tell her, or should I, about what we let
every podcast.
I should know this because I listened to that second one.
Every podcast, it is up to our guest to name the episode, so you have the
honor of doing that. As Austin said in the episode I listened to, you should have told me at the beginning so I could be thinking about it.
We like to put you on the spot.
Alex and I actually had a discussion about this, and we decided it'd be funnier if we make you do it.
And I should have known since I listened to that one. Let me think.
And remember, all these little pauses and breaks, it's radio, so you have to keep talking.
Alex will cut it
out. Oh, no, we're going to – this is a
– Well, and while she's thinking, I will do our ad. Pop's Cake House.
Oh, we have an ad this week.
Yeah.
Another one.
Pop's Cake House, located in Spring, Texas. Custom cakes, cupcakes, cookies, anything you like.
What kind of cookies?
Whatever your little heart desires.
You just said anything you like.
Some sugar cookies.
It's a small family-owned business.
I want like a big like Castle Grayskull cake from He-Man.
Castle Grayskull cake. You know what? They could probably do a Castle Grayskull cake.
I'm talking. I want it like at least 3 feet tall.
3 feet, not 3 layers.
Now let me tell you this. If you're wanting it three tier maybe like 3 feet.
I think
three.
Are you telling me that if money is no option?
No. If you have the money and you want to pay what it's going
to
cost. Yeah, if you want to pay the amount of money it's going to cost to do an extravagant 3-foot Castle Grayskull.
Yeah, because here's what I'm thinking. I'm going to cover my nipples in pasties and pop out of the top of Castle Grayskull.
Are you going to be He-Man?
Not in pasties, but I'll hold the Sword of Power.
Or Pop's Grayskull. Pop's Cake House can do it.
Okay, so the title is going to be The Wife Takes Over.
The Wife Takes Over. There we go.
Yeah, that's about right.
But yeah, so if you're wanting any custom cakes, it doesn't matter the flavor. They pride themselves in making sure it tastes as good as it looks. Give Pop's Cake House a call, and their number is 832-857-3515.
Okay, and can we find them online anywhere?
You can find them at www.facebook.com/Pop's Cake House.
Okay.
It might have been one extra W.
I was doing the math in my head. I was like, wait a minute. W.
I lost track.
I was confused. I was like, what would Waldo
but
do?
Yeah, facebook.com/PopsCakehouse, or you can call them 832-857-3515.
All right. So everybody give Pops Cakehouse a try. I think Ashley's.
And go out and get Ashley's books.
Going to call him up and get some cookies.
But Ashley, it's been great having you.
It has been a lot of fun.
Only wish big and great things for you. So
thank you.
Good luck on everything.
Yep, and I guess for everybody here, I'm Tony Brown.
I'm Alex Silva.
Ashley Niemer.
And this was the Knights of Geekdom. The geek has inherited the earth, so give a jock a big old hug.